This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
We are still talking with Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author, about the Lori Daybell and Chad Daybell case. And earlier on, the question was, what attracted the two to one another? And I know we've been discussing it, but I don't know that we're any even closer to an answer on that one.
It sure smacks to me of somebody who's desperately needy. And this guy is selling something unique. And if he can catch somebody's ear long enough to implant this idea, well, I've got the truth and I know things that other people don't need, and I want you on my team. Maybe a desperately needy person finds that appealing.
I guess the question is, Is they're just so needy they'll believe almost anything? Because, I mean, I look at this, and this is probably why I was not very good at dating in high school.
Yeah.
Because I didn't bullshit anybody, and I still don't. So, like, I wasn't the guy that had a bunch of girlfriends or this or that. But if I had been kind of the, you know, the very minimalized version of this, where you're kind of more grandeur, and you brag and about this and that, and it seems very impressive. I mean, is that kind of what it is? It's this era of grandeur about someone. And if they have it, it stands out, because not a lot of people do have it. And maybe, right, just maybe, they know something we don't know.
Right. It's that sense of this person has this special knowledge. Mm-hmm. And if I go along with them and I agree with their beliefs, then I have this special knowledge too. And that makes me feel important. You know, I had the sense in reading these emails back and forth and their text messages within their friend group that they all really felt we are all exalted now, mm-hmm, because, you know, we're following these exalted leaders and we've got the truth. And so it really, I think, appeals to people who are rather weak and suggestible and don't have much of a sense of purpose about their lives.
Did you read all of the Chad and Lori Daybell love letter back and forth, the one that Chad wrote to her in that one day that goes on for pages and pages and pages?
I think I've missed that. I need to catch that one.
Well, here you go. Every single day on the podcast feed here, about 6 o'clock, we're releasing it once a day. I did a dramatic reading of it last week, complete with music and everything. And it's verbatim. Spelling errors and all. And it is, I mean, it's shocking. And there seems to be, and I asked another person about this, another psychologist about this earlier in the day, because Chad seems to have this very big fixation on the physicality of Lori. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's in the love letter thing, it's like every other sentence. It goes from, you know, how they're going to rule this area and how he's so in love with this beautiful goddess who was sent to him and this and that. But it's constantly fixated on looks for, like, I don't know, like 10,000 words. And it's a lot about looks. And I look at Chad and I'm halfway wondering, is this a guy? And I'm probably being too simplistic here, but men will stick with women who are attractive through really horrible, demeaning, abusive shit.
If
they think that I have the hot girl now, and it feels like Chad was there to a certain extent, but I think it goes even further. I wonder sometimes, you know, did Chad get in too deep here with this? Like, he's like, she loves my crazy writing and this is great, and I'm just going to keep writing more and more, and didn't realize it at some point. Oh, she's really, really believing this to, like, the point of, like, wanting to kill people for you and whatever batshit crazy thing you spit out. And I don't know if that made him feel like he had more of a sense of power, so he just kind of kept going along with it, or if he believed it as well.
Yeah. I think because it did progress to murder, I think that they share this mutual delusional thought system, but they empowered each other. And then, of course, he seemed to be a master, well, she did too, mm-hmm, of rationalizing whatever their desires were, or whatever person they didn't like or they didn't agree with, or the people that are trying to get in their way, that they had this divine authority to intervene in events, and including, you know, kill the people that were in the way. And it's that filet à deux, the French term for two people that share a delusion, and therefore the whole delusion amplifies and intensifies. So the two of them ever meeting up, I mean, what were the odds of that, that yeah. two people that are this toxic found each other and we see the result?
Yeah, without a doubt. What do you think would happen if Chad were to flip and testify against Lori in this trial? In terms of, well, the trial even continuing with her mental state, how do you think that would psychologically impact Lori, assuming she still is in complete belief of him? If we were to go up there and say, yeah, I didn't do this, or she was the influence here, and really just not be that person that she believes he is.
Yeah, it would be hard for me to imagine that even happening at this point, yeah. you know, because they have gone for so long with this system intact between the two of them. But I would imagine that would shake her up quite a bit, depending on what her functional capacity is right now, because we really don't have a sense for how has she continued to deteriorate. Because I had the sense when she was a younger woman, you know, going back a decade or two, that she was always intense and overly religious and a bit strange, but she got weirder as she got older. And that certainly seemed to surprise her son over the years, you know, the extremes that she was getting into. So, you know, we don't know. It'll be an interesting one to follow.
I'm asking everybody this that we're talking about Lori with here at the beginning of the trial. Your opinion completely. Do you think we make it through this entire trial with it actually finishing up with a jury decision, or is this thing going to get derailed at some point in time by her mental state where she can no longer participate as a competent member of her defense?
I think they'll make it through. I mean, she spent, what, at least 10 months in a state mental health facility. So we are not being given the information on what kind of treatment she's had or what medication she may be on. But generally, they do a pretty good job of patching a person together enough to get them through the trial. So since she's there now, my guess is that she'll make it.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author, thank you so much for joining us and giving us your insight into this case. If you want to weigh in with your thoughts on the Daybells, you can call 888-5-KILLER, 888-554-5537 to weigh in and be part of our conversation. We appreciate that. My name is Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.